room, you can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut, so then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears, it had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.
Okay, guys, I am excited to welcome to the show. We've got Outlaw, Matty, and Dick with us from the Counter Cult Podcast. Guys, how are we?
Great. Pretty fucking great. Awesome, man.
Doing well, brother. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to have you guys. Tommy. Thank you. I'm excited to have you boys on the show.
We're great. We're ready to talk some shit.
Let's go. That's what we like. We're ready to get freaky.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I don't think we ever take a break from that, dude.
No.
But by the time I'm done mixing the last week's podcast, it's time to go get freaky with somebody else. We enjoy what we do, and that's why we do it, right?
That's what it's all about. Once you get into this world, podcasting, whatever you're looking into, it is hard to switch off from it, isn't it? But I'm always in with the paranormal, like even if I'm not doing this or recording or whatever. I'm then watching programs on TV. I love it, man. I can't get away from it.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing, like, we got Maddie down here. Maddie, just recently, we just added Maddie as a full-time co-host. We brought him on when we started the Patreon, Counter Cult Patreon channel, we do a special episode twice a month on there called Raw and Uncircumcised. And, we brought him on for that. And then here recently, we brought him on full-time as our co-host. And awesome. Maddie's over in Oak Ridge. So, you know, that's an area with a lot of lore.
Yeah, man. So where are you all from, guys? What parts are you guys from in the U.S.? Yeah,
so, I'm actually from Utah. I'm from Northern Utah. I'm, about 20 minutes north of Salt Lake City. So,
Matt, you go ahead.
All right. Yeah. I'm from Oak Ridge, you know, secret city. Matter of fact, I grew up in this area and there is a lot of stuff around here, man. It's a strange place. But yeah, fun. We love it.
And I'm actually from Southwest Virginia. Right over the hill from the Appalachian Intelligence guys.
Cool.
So we actually, Outlaw and Maddie and I, all three, we kind of represent three different areas of extreme paranormal activity. And, you know, Outlaw's out there in Skinwalker Country and the Uinta Basin area. And then Maddie, you know, he's from Secret City. And then I'm over here 10 minutes from where the wood booger was turned wood booger, you know, the Sasquatch.
Love it, man. So you guys are all in the cool parts of the U.S.
Yeah.
You could say that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not a lot that goes on here, and that's why I like it here. You know, it's not big city life. That's for sure. We definitely see, you know, it's not unheard of to walk outside to see a UFO or, well, it was, you know, one time. That's how I got into all this in 2020, seeing my triangles flying right over. And actually, I shared a video. I don't know if you got to see it, Tommy. I shared a video. It was a 1992 video of a woman talking about those triangles. And she was talking about General Dynamics having their hands in these triangles years ago. Well, funny thing is this thing was flying right over us and headed in the direction of a General Dynamics plant, which is not even 2 miles from us, right down the interstate corridor between 9 and 10 o'clock back in December of 2020. This thing was so low, it was, literally, you hear the old saying, I can throw a rock and hit it. If I weren't a fat, slow piece of shit, I probably could throw a rock and hit that thing. It was so low. I say this, it was so low that if it were powered by anything, any means technologically that we know right now, as far as propulsion, I would have felt the heat off of it.
Wow, no man.
It was silent. There was no heat. Big as a football field. So that's how I got down, going into the rabbit holes. I didn't feel like I was looking at anything extraterrestrial, maybe the technology, but I had a strong feeling that it was manned by either military or government.
Interesting, man. So you said, what sort of shape was it?
It was a triangle. It was a
triangle.
Are you familiar with Missing 411, the UFO connection, David Politis's most recent effort?
Yes.
That one, the one that's on the front of that, exactly what I saw.
Wow, man. And that was low down. That was you could see it clearly.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, like I work in, it's a one-story plant, but now, we're talking about a machine shop, it's a plant, and it's, so you, one story is actually about 1.5, but this thing was about double the size, the height of the building. I was actually leaned up against the wall, and I was on my phone, and I see a light come over me. I was getting ready to go back in from lunch break, and I see a light come over me, and I'm just thinking it's the guys, because at the time we were having construction on the front of the building. They were building new offices. On the front of the building, and I'm thinking that one of the guys, because I work second shift, there's only 7 of us there. I'm thinking one of the guys got up on the roof with a flashlight and was, fucking with me. So I look up and I can't even get you son of a bitch out of my mouth, and I see this thing. It was low enough that, it's not between 9 and 10 o'clock at night. I think it was like 9:50 something. And it was dark enough, that you wouldn't be able to see it if it weren't so low. You wouldn't be able to see that. It was so low that I was telling the AI guys, it's so low that, if you look at the light and your light on the ceiling, you can look and see the how it illuminates the ceiling behind it. I can see how the lights on this thing were illuminating the actual metal on the aircraft.
Wow.
That's just one of the details that really stuck out to me too, that and the fact that this thing's silent and I'm not disintegrated by heat.
That's so cool.
It was definitely an eye-opener, because I spent most of my life just being a skeptic, about all these things. And then we started having some paranormal stuff go on there in the plant, which apparently had been going on a long time before I ever started there. But the place where I work is actually set on a hill where the Union soldiers during the Civil War were stationed, less than a mile away from where the Confederates were stationed for one of the battles that took place here. Not uncommon to see catch shit out of the corner of your eye.
So this ship that you saw, how quickly did it go over you?
Oh, dude, it was slow. It was damn near like a balloon as far as speed. It was, I don't know what they use these things for. My guess is what they were doing is our General Dynamics plant, they have radars that are still out there. These things are huge. Matter of fact, I'll give you some justice, because I was going to show Maddie too. So here in the next day or so, I might go out there tomorrow. I'll go take a picture of it and send it to you. You can drive by and see these things. These are like satellite radars. So I'm not for sure if they weren't going stealth, some type of stealth test or, some type of testing. So, but anyways, I did see a video recently of another one of these triangles. Now, the only difference in the one that this video had and the one that I saw was, instead of having a red light in the middle, it was green and it was shooting a green laser. Now, it was going up like a creek bed. And I think this was out in LA, if I'm not mistaken. But it wouldn't surprise me a bit if that's what that thing is used for. Direct energy.
That's a terrifying thought as well, that we could be using these things against our own people.
Yeah. Well, you can look. It doesn't take a genius. I mean, these people aren't dumb. If they actually, you know, if they actually plan to depopulate the world, you know where you have the areas of the most and the least compliance as far as like the whole bloated situation. You know, it wouldn't bother them at all to take us, you know, to take go to the places that have the most resistance, take them out. That's like the state I'm in, Virginia, that when they tried, we had a governor, we just elected a new one, but the previous governor tried to enforce some strict gun laws. And our sheriffs all across the state literally said, fuck no, we're not going to force it. You can make the law, we're not going to force it. So, you know, when people stand up, that really makes them sour. You know, you can imagine.
Yeah.
They despise us. As a matter of fact, I've heard they even call us mud people with power. You know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's, you know, they're going to look out for their own interests. And that's just, I guess, the way the system works. We're wherever we fall on that scale, you know.
So that craft, Dick, that craft that you saw, going back to that, do you believe that that could be that? So that's man-made by us, in your opinion.
And they're using. I don't know that the technology is.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to. I always think back to hearing about Hitler's involvement with flying saucers, UFO technology, anti-gravitational technology, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I go back and think about that. I think it was man-made. If we are using, and we obviously are using a technology that's foreign to us, but they're foreign to us people, ordinary civilians. But you know, do I think there was maybe extraterrestrial origins or another intelligence that gave them this technology? You know, sure. I can believe any of that, really. You know, the paranormal and conspiratorial world, especially if you go back to like we was talking about before we started recording, we're talking about Crowley and those guys. You know, these guys are it's hard to tell what they sum about. And these principalities have given us, you know, you can look at that from a biblical perspective, you can look at it from extraterrestrial or some of the lore of the people in the ground. You know, there's lore that these grays and highly technologically advanced beings live in, you know, inside the earth. That's why we cover both, you know, because conspiracy and paranormal,
they come together.
A lot of aspects, they do end up intertwining. Even when you talk about, you know, Bigfoot and the portals, you know, look at the shit that CERN's doing, and it's really scary, man, because, you know, a lot of it was in biblical scripture. I talk a lot of times, I'm not a subscriber to the King James Version of the Bible. I think it was highly edited. We know it omitted the Book of Enoch, Yasher, a few others. Not to mention that King James literally authored the Book of Demonology before he had people translate the Bible. How do you author the Book of Demonology if you don't know demons?
It's interesting, Matt, because obviously this is a paranormal show. But as you said, you can't really cover the whole of paranormal without touching conspiracies because the two are connected.
They are.
Whether you like it or not, you have to look. If you're going to explore paranormal, you've got to look at conspiracies as well because they are, as you said, they're all connected.
Yeah. Well, Matty, you can tell a little bit about that too, can't you?
Oh, yeah, I reckon I can. You know, in my opinion, it's hard to keep a people down if you're not attacking the spirit directly in some sense. Because if people still have spirit, they're going to still have hope. They're going to come up and they're going to fight against that no matter what. And that's just my take on it. But I'm a little more into the spiritual side of things, I guess you could say. I'm a polytheist is the easiest way to put that. So I believe in everything. It doesn't matter what anybody comes to me with, because in my mind, it's all there. It's all real, at least to some degree. And I feel like that's opened up a lot of avenues for me in this sense, where there's not a lot I can look at and go, nah, man, that's outside of the range or outside of the spectrum that is believable. And a good mindset, in my opinion, to have, to kind of open up to everything. I'm biased. And in that practice, I've gotten to study a lot of things. You know, I'm neck deep in Kabbalah study right now, looking into how that affects, because that's bled out of, you know, Judaism into all aspects of culture. You know, even, of course, Kubrick's films, you've got Kabbalistic symbolism in there. And even in your everyday life, some of the symbols you're seeing relate back to some sort of entity or worship or religious practice.
Yeah, man. Would you say at the moment we're in the middle of a spiritual battle?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it's just getting, something's coming to a head. I don't know what, you know, but yeah. You can feel it.
Yeah.
And it had some interesting dreams that were kind of just like observational things, just kind of peeking in to see, I guess, through my subconscious, maybe what's going on. And there are a couple other people in the vein of the spiritual stuff that I've reached out to that have had similar dreams or dreams that kind of line up with those. So it's definitely been something that's been concerning.
Yeah, man.
JJ was speaking about that too, wasn't she, Maddie? In our Discord. Are you familiar with JJ Rose?
Yeah, I had JJ Rose on the show many times.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right. Yeah, you had her on before or after.
I actually just listened to that episode too.
Yeah. Awesome. JJ's awesome.
JJ, yeah. Wonderful person. But she was talking about that here recently, having some dreams and some heavy feelings. And, you know, and I'm a firm believer that, you know, and I think they use this against us a lot in society today, especially. That's why I don't watch a lot of TV. You know, I watch fucking King of the Hill.
Great show.
Yeah. but I think that these feelings that they, these energies that they obviously spur with whatever they're feeding us, you know, if everybody's got a huge feeling of negativity, it will manifest. And just to give you, and I went over this before, but just to give you a hint of that, to where you can actually, it's almost tangible. Think about if you walk into a room at work, you know, if you go on lunch, right, and you've got two people in the break room and you, and, you know, I don't know how your work set up over there, but, you know, say you go into the break room, you got two or three people in there, they're talking about how shitty this job is and how much of a cocksucker the boss is, you know, automatically you feel that energy. Or if, you know, say you don't think, maybe you don't know, but maybe you don't think somebody likes you, you feel that tension.
Yes.
Just because of the way you feel, just because of the way you talk yourself into feeling. And, you know, and the government knows this, they use that stuff too. You know, you can make yourself feel negative by the energy that you perceive.
100%.
Now think about that on a massive scale.
Yeah. And that's a media tool for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, and honestly, I was talking to one of the guys in our Discord not too long ago about how some of my earliest spiritual ideas were only recognizable to me because of Hercules from Disney, right? Like, and there's the exposure to that sort of thing has only really gotten worse. And I feel like, honestly, probably more negative in a sense, where it's just a constant bombardment of, you know, demonology or sorcery or Solomonic magic. It's all over the place. You know, I like supernatural, but I also realize that some of that may be just a invitation of sorts, you know, not necessarily that that's going to itself bring negativity into my life, but that if somebody goes into a practice only educated off what they see on a television screen instead of hitting the books and finding mentors or, you know, doing a necessary amount of research, things can reciprocate in many ways, you know, and that's kind of my belief on how that stuff works is it's a cycle of reciprocation. What you give is what you get with any entity or deity. Yeah, exactly. Kind of like how the Slenderman thing came up, like a tulpa.
Yeah, it was manifested by obviously people talking about it, sharing their
right.
That makes me wonder if it's if we're obviously we talk about demonology goes way back, but
yes.
What if these are being perpetrated by principalities? Maybe just implanting a thought to whoever runs Creepypasta to make this story on Slenderman. Maybe Slenderman was there and your belief in him manifested. You know, I remember as a kid hearing Bloody Mary,
Man.
You hear Zach King talk about that on Tony Merkel's show. I went in and did Bloody Mary and talked to a demon.
Well, now it's not just entities anymore. Now it's people are actually opening up dimensions like the back rooms and stuff.
Just what the human mind is capable of that we don't know or have been suppressed not to know.
100%. Yeah.
It's a huge playing field. If you think about it, it's just a vast abyss of things that you could think of. Or be prompted to think of.
I've said it on the show before, but where I am at the moment is I feel like we're all like people in like everyone is special. We've all got amazing abilities. Our energy, everyone's energy is important, everyone. And I do feel like at the moment that everything is about bringing people down, divide.
Absolutely.
That's what everything is about at the moment. You know, there's and that's done on purpose for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, man. If we all thought positive, or maybe if we all just sit and meditate and send some of the negativity back to Bill Gates, let's
meditate. Let's do it.
Let's all just sit down and meditate.
But they would hate it. The powers that be, whoever is fully in control, would hate it if we was all positive, loving. You know, if the majority was like that, which I think a lot of people are, but. Yeah. If everyone was like that, it would change the game completely. I don't know what they'd do. And I think that's what worries me.
That's why we have people like JJ Rose and Zoe.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, they're awesome. But having these conversations and more people talking about this sort of stuff is what they don't want. That's just why we got to keep doing it, boys.
That's why we're here, man. And that's why we're being suppressed. And you know it. I mean, that and our willpower to call their shit every time that they do it, to search for the answers, and not try to just throw baseless claims out, but use visual evidence, like in the Maui thing. I mean, there's visual evidence of that in everything that you look at. That is at the very least, let's say we all are way off mark. At the very least, that is shady fucking shit. I mean, if I weren't versed in the entire event that happened there, and I were just to go there on a trip and just be looking from a non-biased, uninformed up to that point view, I could look at that and be like, some shady shit going on there.
Yeah, man.
But that's what we play a big role in it, Tommy. The same with the paranormal, man. Calling out these principalities. Finding out the truths. We've gotten pretty into paranormal recently. We'll be going more into paranormal, especially near Halloween. We try to keep it a pretty balanced mix.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of guys on with Sasquatch. We had Chucky Danger, man. Chucky Danger was just he's on it. If you ever get a chance,
he's a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
I would definitely recommend having a conversation with that guy. You can find him in our Discord, Tommy.
Awesome, man.
He is a vast, he's just got a lot of information, a lot of crazy. I mean, he gets into like the fluorescent lights and stuff like that, or UV lights and stuff like that. And talking about how animals see these things in UV spectrum. It's great.
Interesting. Awesome stuff.
We will be getting back, you know, we like I said, we'll try to keep a good balance, but there's, damn it, with the conspiracy, there's just so much shit.
Yeah, it drags you back in. They make it easy for us.
Yeah.
Matty, before I forget, can I ask you, if you don't mind, what dreams you had?
Would you mind
sharing that?
So I had just a couple of really, really odd ones initially that kind of were concerning, because I don't like dreams. When I go to sleep, I try to coax myself into just nothingness, into a comfortable, cold little void where I can sleep and be rested, you know, because I've just had bad experiences with those off and on my whole life. But the ones in particular that kind of spurred me to reach out to somebody with more experience than me was I wasn't even really asleep yet. I was almost in kind of a lucid state. And then I just noticed that there was something on a large, like, spine, pretty much, just kind of hanging on to it. And it was sloughing the meat off the spine with its tongue into its mouth. And I just, as soon as I recognized that, I was like, well, wait, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Get the fuck out of my head, you know, popped up and was like, fuck this. And then took a second, took a breath, went back to sleep fine. And it wasn't necessarily, it wasn't like aggressive. It just felt like this thing had grabbed a hold of its dinner and was watching a YouTube video, you know, like just kind of watching something while eating, just observation, just kind of blindly staring out. The second dream, there was kind of the same happenstance, except for instead of being void-like, I suddenly realized that I was in kind of a like a beige place of some sort, which is not my usual sleep spot. And as I kind of came into like a semi-consciousness, there was a thing with its back turned towards me. And when I recognized that there was something there, it turned and it had a leech for a face. And it didn't like charge me. It just kind of was like, fuck, you recognized me. And then I popped up again and was like, the fuck out of my head, please. I'm trying to sleep. And then same thing, kind of took a minute and readjusted and went back to sleep and was fine.
So when you're having, it doesn't feel like a normal dream. It feels like something's coming into your dream that shouldn't be there.
Right. It's kind of one of those things where almost the kind of similar response to like shadow figures, where, you know, you're just kind of walking through your house and you turn around and real quick, you're like, the fuck are you doing here thing? You know, you kind of jump startle and go into fight or flight mode. It's kind of a similar response. And, you know, again, it's one of those things that I don't think I would have picked up on if I didn't like typically sleep in absolute nothingness.
Yeah.
You know, I keep some crystals around the bed. Keep some salt around the bed. I keep I make herb sachets of medicine, and I'll hang those around to kind of help protect me in my sleep and keep me safe in my little void there. So yeah. When unusual things like that happen, I guess I kind of get a little bit more of a response and I kind of know more immediately like, oh, this is what this is, instead of thinking it's just my sleep apnea.
Yeah, man. It's good because when we're very vulnerable, obviously, when we're sleeping and we're in that position. I've dealt with sleep paralysis and things like that myself. So it's horrible, man.
Yeah, it's never a fun experience, especially the paralysis. I've never been a big fan of that one, just being stuck there with something staring at you.
Oh man.
I don't know if you get the entities or not, but that's probably the most uncomfortable part of it for me is like the A, I feel like I'm going to choke to death, and B, there's just something over there staring at me that's not trying to help me at all.
Yeah, for sure. For years, I don't get it so much now, but I used to get it weekly, and it used to be a lot of the time the hag, people call it.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was, obviously, at the time. It wasn't until actually doing this show and talking to people and learning more about it that I realized that was actually a thing. But yes. I just had this horrible entity in the room that I couldn't see. I could only see in my mind's eye. And every time it was a battle with this thing, you know, I was trying to get rid of it. And it's horrible, man. It's a horrible place to be.
I agree completely.
Yeah, man. So have you had paranormal experiences other than the dreams and stuff?
I mean, I've just kind of had experiences, I guess. I don't really know how I describe a lot of this stuff. You know, I grew up in a holler, and I just kind of ran around the hills growing up. And there was always kind of something, kind of, I guess, just keeping an eye on me. You know, you could hear things in the woods, and there would be times where I was places, and I would just kind of be like, I'm not meant to be here right now. I need to leave. And I would get wandered off in another direction. And that was one of the things that I was discussing with the fellow from our Discord, because I always initially growing up, you know, 7, 8 years old, running around in the sticks. And I just kind of associated this thing, what I kind of barely saw in my mind's eye with it as a satyr. And then as I kind of got older, I began to associate it more with like a Cernunnos figure versus a satyr, because satyrs are more wild, probably wouldn't have tried to guide me out of areas I didn't need to be in. And I see a lot of shades. I see shadow people quite a bunch. And that's typically the most exciting it gets with me. I find that the further into nature I get, the better I am connected with the things around me.
So the shadow figures, is that something you see regularly around the house and stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, I'm also in Oak Ridge, and I feel like that's probably got something to do with it. You know, all sorts of nonsense going on over there that's probably spurring on a lot of this stuff. But yeah, you know, pretty daily around the house. Or wherever, if I'm at, you know, a buddy's house or something like that, I may occasionally see something out of the corner of my eye. I may see something occasionally, you know, I'll catch like a full head-on glimpse of just a shadow figure. You know, it might be, there have been a few times where they look like oddly shaped stick figures, and there have been times where they look like little hobgoblins, little vampire potbelly goblins, if you will.
Yeah.
And sometimes they look like cats or other animals. It's kind of a weird thing, because there have been times where I've been like, what is my cat doing? The cat knows better than to go in the kitchen. And then I walk around the corner and there's nothing there. So, yeah, that's kind of a daily thing. It is what it is, I guess. I've just kind of gotten over it at this point. It used to really mess me up. There were times where, you know, growing up especially, there's one instance that messed me up for a few years, because I woke up one night and there was what I remember looking like a bonfire of shadows, and there was a group of horned shadow things kind of just dancing around this thing. And so for years after that, I slept with my head under a pillow, fully wrapped with a blanket, with just my nose poking out, my mom thinking I'd suffocated myself. And that went on until I was like into my teenage years, honestly.
So what do you think the, I know this is a difficult question, what do you think these entities are in your situation?
I think it varies. I think, you know, you've got all sorts of spirits, you know. Some of these things may be nefarious. Some of these things may just be taking a peek. It may be, I don't really know how to define them. I've never really felt anything super heavy negative from like what I see around just in my daily walk. But there are some things like the pit with the dancing demons is what I typically call that. That messed me up. That was some serious negativity there. But it's only in like random instances that I've ever felt anything explicitly negative. There was a crossroads I grew up right next to. And if I was coming home after dark, I'd freak out. I couldn't deal with it. I would take foot trails off in the woods before I would cross that crossroads. I don't know. I always just got a really heavy feeling right there. And it was just an old holler crossroad with no real, there wasn't any like, hey, stop your car here and turn your lights on type, you know, urban legends around it. It was just old and there, and it gave me the heebs. So I didn't fool with it.
Yeah, man.
That's a good segue. I wanted to talk to Tommy. You know, we got somebody from the UK on here. UK, which I'm a musician, so, you know, it's with, you know, and I listen to all kinds of music, but when it comes to instruments, I love the American amp sound, but I always loved the British guitar players and bands. They were always my favorite, you know, Gilmore Beck, Clapton and all them. And it would be unfair to say it started over there, but it was more prominent over there. I think it started over here, like Matty was talking about the crossroads, you know, in music, not in history. History probably definitely started over there. But, you know, you have the Robert Johnson at the crossroads story. And then, you know, you get into Page and Zeppelin and, you know, you get into that lore. These guys are dealing with principalities. Page has admitted, you know, Stairway to Heaven was automatic writing. We've all heard it backwards. There's no denying that it says what it says backwards. It's fucking plain as day. You know, the Beatles, love the Beatles, but, you know, same thing with the Beatles. Anything that ever came from Abbey Road, that's probably just as evil as the crossroads. You know, and the funny thing is I've even heard evangelists, preachers, some in the Catholicism, some just evangelists, you know, talk about meeting the devil. I've heard people, even local here, that have dealt with them. You know, I've got some stuff that I've dealt with, and I think once you get to the level they want you to be at, they will try to use you to. You know, like I said, Page admitted to automatic writing. He was a big Crowley fan. I think he owns the old Crowley, or the old mansion of the place where
the Boleskine Manor.
Yeah, the manor. Yeah. Thank you, Matty. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of lore over there in the UK with the music, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's a story, and a good honorable mention.
Sorry, that too. My series just come up.
Go ahead.
That always happens when. Oh, sorry, guys.
Oh, it's okay.
Can you hear me?
You're good, dude.
My Siri just went crazy then. That means we're saying something we shouldn't be saying. That always happens. Let me just get that off. My Siri just came up. Every now and again, it happens. It's normally when we're talking about demons, the Siri comes up.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
It is one. Seriously.
You started talking about
very
something.
Probably.
Where you guys going? There you go.
Well, I remember when Alexa used to wake people up at 3 a.m. with that eerie, creepy witch laugh that sounded like Hillary Clinton.
Oh, wow.
that's creepier than any witch.
That's why I switched my Alexa off. She's not staying on. No way.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Yeah, well, nice.
I've heard here recently somebody talking about if they're advertising to us in our sleep through these cell phones now, the 5G and stuff.
Yeah.
But back to the music, man, they're like your guys' music, man. It's, you know, it's steeped in that stuff.
It does. You hear, obviously, with a lot of these music stars that are like at the, that would say the top, you know, like the top, that a lot of them have like a backstory that's sort of connected with, I don't know, selling their soul or whatever, you know. It's
with some fuckery, it's
interesting. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like all of them, really, like all the top, you know, Jay-Z. Yeah. We can say about him. Like, all of them, really.
Yeah. Well, and all the elites there, man. You know, it's kind of like the whole QAnon thing, man. You know, it may have been a psyop, but you know, at the end of the day, there were the emails. They were talking about spirit cooking. They were talking about cheese pizzas, you know, child pedo sicko shit, you know. So no matter how deep the conspiracy got, that may not have lined up with what actually was happening, there was some fucking shady shit going on there. You know, it without a doubt. I mean, you know, and these people are, you know, you get to talking about Rosicrucians. You know, a lot of them are Rosicrucians, Freemasonry. We're talking about Freemasonry, you know. And I told you I'd mentioned that, you know, we were talking about before you started recording, you know, like on the, even on the local level, you've got prominent businessmen around here, just on a little local level. You've got law enforcement, prosecutors, and judges that are all Freemasons, man. How does that make somebody who's not a Freemason feel, who's had a negative interaction with that, having to go through that type of justice system? These people were into some weird shit, man.
Yeah, man. You said you had some experiences. Can you share with us what you had to deal with in the music industry?
Yeah. Well, Maddie and Outlaw are aware of it. You know, we've talked about it. It's not something I really wanted to talk about a lot until here recently. I was in the same lucid state, you know, and you hear this a lot with lucid dreaming. And I don't know if that's us stepping through a certain dimension before we go to sleep. I don't know, you know, I don't know what that is. Maybe our third eye opens in a lucid dream state, you know, to a degree or something, you know. But I was asleep. I saw a being, you know, JJ and Zoe, I think both know, but I know JJ does. She's helped me out a lot. So I was approached by this, what I'm calling a demon, more like a, as we've come to term it, more like an Anubis dogman type entity that came to me, scared me to death. But the funny thing was when it realized that I was startled, it instantly changed its appearance to a robed figure. I don't want to get too far into it. I don't think it likes me talking about it. But there was a, you know, there was an agreement, and I was you know, I was asleep, you know, and there was an agreement that to whether or not that's you know, it's real or it was just a nothing more than the lucid dream. I've never had this happen before. I've never been in a lucid state like that. I can't ever recall being in one going into sleep. As a matter of fact, it's the first time that I realized what people were talking about with the lucid dreaming and where they can go.
So did you feel like you wasn't in a dream state at the time? Did it feel real?
No, oh, it felt super real. I was, the funny thing was, Tommy, I was exhausted. I laid down in my son's bedroom. My son was still awake, you know, they were going to hide. But I can't remember, you know, what was going on. It was actually pretty early in the night for me because I usually don't get off work until 2 o'clock in the morning. But this wasn't a work night. I want to say we were in a range of 10 to 11 o'clock, something like that. Maybe, you know, maybe a little later, not much. And so I go into this dream, this lucid dream. I realized after I came out of it, I was only in that state for about 45 minutes. I didn't get any rest, and I got up out of that bed, and it was like I had slept for hours.
So this
all happened after the UFO thing too.
So this is quite a recent thing.
Yeah, this was 2021.
Wow, man.
The end of 2021. So right before last year, you know.
Wow. So do you feel like you left your body in a way?
I you know, I don't know. I can only imagine it's, you know, it's what people talk about being in that lucid state. Like I said, it's the only time I've ever been anything like this. Usually I'm either awake or I'm asleep, or I'm uncomfortable and rolling my fat ass around in the bed. it was definitely something different than what I had ever experienced in any kind of sleep or anything like that. And I wouldn't have called it sleep. The fact that I came right out of it as it ended, this interaction between me and this entity ended. I woke up directly after. And like I said, Tommy, the weirdest part of it, I knew I was still conscious to know that enough to know that I had just laid down 45 minutes ago. I never got past that state. It's like my body didn't even need any more sleep. It didn't need any rest. I got straight up and was fine. Like I'd been asleep for, you know, 8-10 hours. Excuse me.
Wow.
Really weird.
Yeah, man. And have you experienced anything else since that dream?
No. Well, yeah. So Maddie and Storm, which is Maddie's wife, it had been eating at me, and we tried to speak to this thing. Maddie, I'm sure, recall, and Outlaw was there too, because Outlaw had actually flown out here, and we all met up in Gatlinburg to go to a convention that Tony Merkel was a guest at, a guest speaker at. So we go back to the hotel room, and Outlaw's outside hitting the vape, doing his thing, and Maddie and Storm and I were trying to talk to this thing. And we get finished, you know, get a few, you know, kind of clear, unclear answers, you know, some of them. Maddie and Storm step out for a cigarette. I was putting the table back, you know, we had sat down with the table and some instruments. And I'm getting ready to walk out the door, and the trash can beside the sink it just slams against the sink. I don't know if that's this thing leaving, but I went out and told Maddie and Storm and Outlaw. I'm like, you're not going to believe this. But, you know, it was odd. There was nobody else in there. It was a small room that we stayed in. It was like something was knocking shit over to get out or go back. The funny thing was, too, the way it was laid out, there was a mirror. You know, and you talk about mirrors and being entrance and exits. But I know this was, I'm 100% certain this was the entity that was with me. But I don't know if he was going back through the mirror or because the bathroom sink was right, you know, right under the mirror, and the trash can was right next to the bathroom sink. I had just turned to walk out the door to go smoke with him. After putting the table up, and it happened. Like I said, nothing else in the room. I was at the door, which was the complete other end of the room. You know,
wow, man.
Make of it what you will, but it was definitely a pretty clear sign. He was there.
And do you get a feeling when it's around, or is it? Do you feel like it was always around at the time?
I still to this day feel like it's always
around. Wow,
like right there with me.
Wow, man.
And I felt weird. I mean, the first week, I will mention the first week, the presence was damn near tangible. Like, you know, pass me a smoke, tangible.
You know, wow, man.
Like right at my shoulder. Then I don't know if I kind of got used to it, but I still, like, it's still like it's there. Right? You know, that day with Maddie and Storm, though, I realized that it was physical. As much as it was, you know, spiritually, it was there.
Yeah. So the only time you've seen it was in the dream state.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, it was so, I'm not gonna say grotesque, I guess just scary. I mean, it was just, it startled me. You know, this thing. And the odd thing, like the backdrop was completely black. It was me and this entity and nothing else. No background, no floor. No ceiling.
Wow.
Complete darkness. Just
so, like, so if you've seen Stranger Things, like when Eleven goes to the, I can't remember what it's called, but when
upside down.
in the Upside Down. Yeah, that's it. And it's just all black. And I think that she's going somewhere in her mind or something. Was it like that? That sort of thing?
Kind of. But like I said, you there wasn't even the darkness was, it was nothing. Like, it was just dark. It was black. It was just, it's like, yeah, it's like you can imagine just going into a black room, or into, you know, the walls are painted black, the floor is black, the ceiling's black, and you shut the door and there's no light. But I could see the being, the entity.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like we were sitting there talking, but everything else was complete black. Like, we're almost in an abyss or a void. In a void.
Yeah. State. That's what mine's often like. Because I can, if you, it's like it's infinitely layered going down. And at times, it'll seem like there's almost columns where there should be a ceiling and floor, almost like you were just in a glass building.
Yeah, that you're right, Matty. That's exactly what it was like. It was like, it was complete darkness above, below, and 360 degrees around me. And I was, you know, I was standing there. But there was nothing under me, nothing above me, nothing around me, or it, just it in front of me. No, nothing else. No backdrop. No scenery. No. I wasn't in a place. I was in nothing. I was in a complete void area.
Hey, Dick.
Another possible. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think I've asked you this before, but out of curiosity, do you remember what it felt like as you drifted into that state?
No. As a matter of fact, all I remember of it, because that's all there was of it, really. I laid down.
Yeah.
I closed my eyes. You know, within seconds, I'm talking to this thing.
The reason I ask is because I've come to associate a specific feeling with when that's happening, and if I catch that feeling, I can stop it before I go into whether it's a lucid state or whatever it is. I can kind of wake myself up real quick and be like, whoa, 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 no.
Yes, and yes, go bad. I could have. Yes.
Yeah.
And
like,
I wasn't in any kind of obviously wasn't any kind of REM sleep or anything like that. One thing that's crazy, this is one of the craziest parts. Now, I never felt instantly once this thing saw that I was starving, you know, I told you its appearance instantly changed. It went from this Anubis looking thing to being robed. The funny thing is I reached out to JJ. Now, this was back in the early counter cold. You know, this has been months ago. You know, we're only about 3 months old now. So I spoke to JJ. JJ, you know, asked me for permission to check things out. She did. And the funny thing was, you know, I told you this thing was in a robe, and the only people that I had mentioned it to, I described this thing as a druid, like a druid robe. And the funny thing was, when JJ did this, you know, when JJ was reading me, I was asleep, which is an odd thing. So because, you know, I was in the lucid state, and I was asleep when JJ actually did she didn't set it up that way. It was just, I'd give her permission that morning. And I just got home from work. I was getting ready to go to bed. So she does this thing and she writes me back and she said, the only thing I saw was this, creature or this, entity in a robe, reminded me of a monk's robe, the robes, you know? So instantly I'm like, she saw what I saw. I guess I'll have to say I never felt, there's never any negativity though, this thing, other than the ominous, you know, nature of signing a contract in your lucid dream state, you know, if that's what it was, you know, it was in blood, I remember it pricking my pinky finger. I couldn't tell you what the contract said. I knew what it was about. That's pretty much all there was to it. But when, you know, it was really a crazy confirmation when JJ said, it looks like it's in a monk's robe. Wow. I'm like, yeah, that's the Druid rope that I remember seeing the instant that this thing saw that I was startled by its appearance.
JJ is amazing, man. The thing she does is incredible.
Yeah. Well, that blew my mind.
Yeah. But, so you still feel like this entity is around you now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, Maddie and Storm got to see that, you know, kind of firsthand too.
I saw it answer questions.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, I had my eyes closed, and so Maddie saw it, you know.
So what is that through you? Or was that coming out of your mouth? Or how did he see that?
It was my wife does scrying, and we set up a scry board, and she did the scrying, and I just kind of, in those situations, I just kind of empty myself. That way, you know, that stuff's very draining for anybody. So I just kind of let myself act as like a reserve for her. And so I was just kind of there, kind of keeping an eye on things in case things went sideways, and trying to support her and, you know, seeing what it was responding with.
Yeah. I had never dealt with anything like this before, never did scrying boards or anything. And he's right. Instantly when you're done, it's like you just ran a marathon.
Yeah. You need a sandwich for sure.
Yeah.
He's taking a lot of energy.
Maddie had one.
Wow, man. I mean, I don't say no if you don't want to answer it, but can I ask you what sort of things it was saying?
I don't know. Tommy, I was presented with a scroll. It was a contract. It was a scroll, just like you'd see in, you know, period time scroll work, you know, parchment paper. And it was, I remember it like, it was almost like, you know what you're doing. Here you go. The only problem I have with that really is that I didn't have full control. I was in the, but I guess, you know, it's not, maybe these things aren't dealing with us as a human. They're dealing with the spiritual us, and my inhibitions were, you know, in a lucid state aren't at play, you know? So maybe there's a link there, you know, like I said, I've never felt anything negative from this thing. I know it didn't like me talking about it, but but no more of an interaction than what we had with it. You know, don't see me, but it was different. And the odd thing is, you know, I'm working on an album right now, so we'll see.
Interesting, man. Matty, what sort of things was you getting when you was contacting the entity?
Most of the questions were fairly simple. From what I can recollect, anyhow, a lot of it was yes or no questions. We had Dick ask the questions because it's his bond that he's sharing with this thing. He's gonna have the better connection to the entity, and so my wife was scrying. She had her pendulum over the board. Dick would ask a question. We would try to get a response, try to get a consistent response at that, try to get something that was, you know, less questionable, you know, kind of like you see people do the mag flashlight trick where you turn it in between off and on, but that's not great. We try to avoid that sort of thing. So we try to get a clear, concise, the pendulum swings and is there. And if it's not, then we would have Dick, or else she would have Dick re-ask the question or maybe reword the question. And it was mostly yes or no stuff. When we tried to get anything more than that, it would just kind of spiral around the board, or it would just wander off into nowhere. Or there were a few times where it just said no.
I had my eyes closed during this. I didn't see it. You know, I wish I could have. That's something I really should have asked Maddie. We've not really talked about it a lot. We've had a lot going on. It was there. I mean, it was, and that's another thing. I know, like, I feel it. It's like physically present. It's like it's always there on standby, almost like you're putting something on standby, you know. And it's not, it's odd, man, because it's, you would think it's a, it would be a big deal, but to me, it's not, it doesn't affect anything. And one of the things that really got me, man, was when Storm said, because I could feel this thing telling me that, and this was reaffirming. He's like, you've got the tools in front of you, do it. Do you remember that, Maddie?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, you've got, it's like, you've got everything in front of you, use it.
Interesting. And you think it could be connected to the new album that you're writing?
Yeah. Well, and this is the only album that I've written. You know, I've played for many, many years, a lot of bluegrass, a lot of rock, stuff like that. You know, never to the extent that I do now. You know, I got into music theory and got really proficient when sober. playing what I want to play.
You're going to have to play the songs in reverse and see what comes out.
we'll see what comes out.
See what you got there, man, because,
yeah, that's
interesting stuff.
That's a big thing over there, too. And
the backwards, it's a lot of another song, but it's, yeah, that's weird, man.
Yeah. And just a side note, the backwards thing comes from Crowley as well. In one of his books, he says that a magician must be able to write backwards, read backwards, and even listen to their phonograph backwards.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Yeah, because you hear some of these songs, that massive songs, when you play it backwards, and it's another song, man, and it's freaky
stuff.
Well,
when you go to the most prominent one, which within my, you know, this is just subjective, but my opinion would be Stairway to Heaven. You listen, dude, when you listen to Stairway to Heaven backwards, it has its own rhythm. It has its own little melodic, you know, it's an A minor. It's got its own melodic, sad riff to it.
And that whole record, if I'm not mistaken, that's Zeppelin 4, right?
So.
That whole record they wrote while in the Boleskine Manor.
Not and then named after a demon.
Right. And then the movie, the film, the song remains the same. You can see the Boleskine Manor in the shot where they're climbing up the mountainside thing there to the hermit.
And then you look at the significance of the Lightbringer and all that, you know, the hermit. There's a lot of meaning there, that a lot of subliminal meaning there that, you know, a lot of people don't take into account when you listen to it. But yeah, you know, like I said, the album's named after a very infamous demon anyways. Very infamous.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people won't even say his name.
Freaky but interesting. That's what we like.
Yeah, we get a little freaky for you, Tommy. You
yeah, I love that, man.
But yeah, we delve into all of it, man. You know, the conspiracy, the paranormal, we try to tie the links together.
It's super interesting stuff. And as you say, it's everything's connected. And that's why I go down the conspiracy rabbit holes as well, because it is all a part of the paranormal. It's all connected. You can't really have one without the other. So, yeah. Interesting stuff, man.
Well, you know, like outlaws out there in Uinta, man. I mean, that's an entirely, you go through there, that's an entirely different feeling, man. It's heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. Outlaw's gone. I was about to ask Outlaw something, and he's gone.
he's
left us.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. Guys, yeah. are there any other paranormal experiences either of you have had that you?
Well, yeah, we've had a lot. You know, like I said, we've had a lot there at work. Now this is the first time I've ever seen spiritual anything. You know, that has to do with spirits. So I'm listening to Hollow Sky. This is here. A few weeks ago, they do their night shift, you know, on YouTube.
Yeah, great show. So,
yeah. So I'm listening to them, and this guy's talking. It's been a few episodes, but I want to say 3 or 4 weeks ago, where the guy's talking about the spirit entity reaching down into his throat and grabbing something out or something like that. The second he's talking about that, all right, I'm standing beside. I've got a stool at work, and it's a swivel stool. You know, I sit on the stool and polished parts. So, well, I'm just standing there because I'm getting a big part, and my stool swivels around and smacks me in the side. I'm thinking it's one of the guys. You know, I work at my little brother works with me there too. So I turn around looking for him. There's nobody in my entire plant. Our plant's in three different sections. We call each one a plant. But, there's nobody in my side of the entire plant. So I'm, you know, kind of wigged me out for a little bit, but didn't think nothing about it. About a week later, the guy, one of our other friends, he shuts and locks the doors, you know, at night as we're leaving. And then we all meet up, you know, and leave. And, he sees us out the back door. Well, he shuts the door, locks it, cuts the outside lights off at the loading dock bay, and there's a bathroom. Okay, so if you're closing the door, to your right will be my workstation. To your immediate left, facing my workstation, is a bathroom. We always keep the door open. The mirror's right there. He closes the back door, looks over at the bathroom, and through the mirror, he sees a hag behind him. And that's he said it's an old lady. He said, dude, I saw an old lady, gray to brown hair, you know, like gray on top, brown. And he didn't tell me at first. I told my old brother was telling me. I was like, you're kidding. He saw a fucking hag? You know, because we hear about it. You know, I'm sure you've heard about them too in the podcast. You know, we hear about them all the time.
Yeah.
And one week ago, I'm sitting there at 5 o'clock in the day, and I catch this bitch out of the corner of my eye rushing. And this is probably the most tangible paranormal experience I've ever had, because I saw it, I'm talking 5 o'clock daylight, 5 o'clock PM. You know, I just got to work, sun's shining through the window, and this bitch looks like she's football rushing me. And like, I've got a big, you know, like, I don't know if you all have them, the big 55 gallon Brute brand here, trash cans.
Yeah.
I've got one big red one, you know, sitting right beside me. And she was hunkered down to where I could just see the back of her shoulders and her back, like in her dress, and her face and hair. And her hair was silver. It was pulled back. It was silver on top into a brownish, and then into black. Like, you can tell it went from black to silver, from black at the bottom to brown to silver. And I caught it so vividly out of the corner of my eye. And I was just, I mean, I just done this. It was, you know, I'm looking aside and I'm looking to the side, I look back, and I'm just like, oh shit. And then she's gone, you know. But it was like she was hunkered down to where her head was just over the trash can. I could see the back of her shoulders and her back. And I could see you can see mine and Maddie's shirt. It was about this color, old colonial style dress, about like Union colors, which is why I mentioned we were talking about, you know, there's some activity that people talk about seeing, you know, shadows out of the corner. They're out there all the time. I wrote to all those guys and told them about the chair incident right after it happened, and then my coworker seeing the hag. I hadn't seen her at that point when I spoke to them. And like I said, dude, the craziest part of that whole thing was, you know, I remember vividly catching her out of the corner of my eye, because I just looked over and I looked back, and then, you know, realized that I just saw something, looked back, she's gone. But I remember the vivid image of seeing that dress and that silver hair.
Yeah, man.
I'm sure I've not seen the last of her, but, you know, especially when you talk about places with the American Civil War, Gettysburg, if you've seen some of those videos, I mean, it's, you know, there's definitely some energy going on there, man. And, you know, like I said, this hill where our plant's at is supposedly where the Union soldiers were stationed for that battle. And you can actually see to the hill across the interstate, which is where the Confederates were.
So there's a lot of energy there, man, for sure.
Oh yeah.
This the lady that you saw, was she full bodied, or was it see-through?
I couldn't see anything else, because she's hunkered almost like football rushing me, you know, like just come up from 3-point stance. And I'm seeing over my trash can, and her, like, has her head, her the dress and everything. It was pretty crazy. I mean, dude, after the past 3 years that I've had, and everybody in the world's experienced, I just take it with a grain of salt. It's,
yeah. So before the 3 years, for your first experience when you saw the craft, you had no other experiences?
No, never.
Wow.
Nothing.
Interesting.
And, you know, Tommy, if you think about it, we were talking about energy. We're talking about paranormal. We're talking, you know, about these paranormal energies that manifest. You know, look what happened in 2020.
Yeah.
Shit got real deep real quick, you know, conspiracy, paranormal, all of it. So it wouldn't surprise me if all this has been spurred by that, but it's across the board. There were, you know, us and you will never run out of work after all this. So there's so many people to interview now. It's, I mean, everybody's seen shit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It does seem like that. Everyone, even people that are not particularly interested in the paranormal, or some people say they've not had an experience, and then you'll ask them and they'll tell you some mad story. And I'm like, that is a paranormal experience. How many people do that?
Yeah, especially old farmers. You know, you get in, like, you get old farmers around here. You know, they'll tell you they don't believe it's paranormal. But hey, this is what I saw.
Yeah.
Like, well, what do you think it was, buddy? Do you eat some bad wheat? You get some ergot going there? What you get?
I was literally at a wedding the other day, and I was talking to one of my good friends, and we've not really spoken about paranormal stuff before, but we was talking about the show and stuff like that. And I asked him, like, what's your thoughts on the paranormal? And he was like, I don't believe any of it, mate. Like, to be honest. And I was like, okay. I did see a lady in my room, though, when I was a kid. And I was like, well, how can you not believe it, man? You saw a ghost lady in your room and you still don't believe it. So some people just won't have it. They'll have an experience and they still, you know, won't have it that it was paranormal. And it might not be paranormal, but, you know, to completely dismiss it, I find it interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts, man. Everybody's seeing it. And, of course, like you said, you're going to have people that don't subscribe to that sort of thing. Outlaw, you had stepped out. We were talking about, I was telling them, you know, I remember driving the truck through your area. Man, you get in your area, you can feel it heavy.
Yeah, there's I know everybody focuses on Skinwalker Ranch over here, but honestly, man, it's this entire state over here that there's something about it. I mean, it's not just Skinwalker Ranch. As Tony Merkel calls it, this is the land of the fallen entities, or land of the fallen angels, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. There's definitely something here. You know, there's a reason why the Mormons back in the 1800s came over here. I think they were trying to follow some sort of energy, and you know, here there's nothing other than desert and forest and mountain. You know, people compare it to a little miniature Afghanistan. I mean, this is how desolate it is out here. But you know, there's, if you were to look at things here with your spiritual eyes, there would definitely be something here worth seeing. And you know, honestly, man, like I said, it's just supercharged with energy, good and bad. Make of that what you will, but
yeah.
I remember driving truck through there when I was 21, and you can just really, when you get west of Wyoming, you can really feel it until you get all the way to the East Coast. Then you just feel fucking stupid. But you just feel much. Bunch of liberal ideology taking over, but really though, you really can, man. You can feel it. Same thing around here when you go to certain places, man. Like he was talking about, his, you know, the Uinta is like that whole area out there, Salt Lake and everything, is like like the land of fallen angels. And here, like the Appalachian intelligence guys talk, it's like this is they call this the land of the old gods.
Yeah.
The Appalachians, you know, a lot of places in America that, well, more so than not, that aren't city, you know, they're not, they may have a city in them, but like, once you get out, there's a lot of area that is just, I'm not gonna say it's uncharted. People live there, people have been there, but it's, you know, you get out of these areas where, you know, not a lot of people live. There's a lot of crazy shit that goes on.
Yeah.
Well, and look at the common factor too, man. It's always, not always, but most of the time, 90% of the time, it's the high places like mountainous or high hills. And even going back to the biblical times, or even before that, people would always build their temples or places of worship on high places, because that's where the veil is the thinnest.
Outlaw, how far are you away from Skinwalker Ranch?
I'm about 2.5-3 hours away from it.
Okay. Have you been there?
I have not, but there's actually a place here that's probably about 5 or 10 minutes away. I know paranormal investigators checked that out, including Sack Baggins. What's it called? Case Cross. So the lore behind that is a polygamous farmer. I don't know what happened to him. Killed his family, and they built a cross in that hollow there. And anyway, apparently that place it's supercharged with bad energy. That you can see dogmen there. You can see other entities there, and just other sorts of specters and whatnot, you know. But yeah, it's just like I said, it's not just Skinwalker Ranch. It's, if you want to find this stuff, you'll find it here, and not just Skinwalker Ranch. It's this entire state for some reason.
Yeah, you hear that? I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah, if you look for it, you'll find it.
Yeah, man, I need to get over there. I mean, it's scary. It freaks me out, but I find it so fascinating. Have you had any experiences, Outlaw, with a paranormal?
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. You know, growing up, so I'm my parents are from Mexico, and I lived in Mexico for 4 years as well, and you know, grew up there as an early childhood there, and we lived in this haunted house there. It was actually before my parents moved in there, it was actually owned by a witch, and wow. You know, yeah, so there was always paranormal activity there, from things like the guitar playing by itself at night, or you know, seeing entities there, even the lechuza, or aka the screech owl. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. I know Dick and Maddie are, so aka Lilith. Yeah, so and one of the most significant things that happened to me, you know, here in Utah, this actually happened not that long ago, probably 2 years ago. So I was working at this apartment complex, and I was a maintenance worker there. And I remember getting this work request to renovate this apartment apartment unit. You know, the previous tenants there, they just completely obliterated the thing. It looked like a hurricane just went through this apartment unit. And and I told Dick this story. So this was towards the later part of the day, about 4 or 5 in the evening. And I was going to spend the night there just trying to, you know, get it painted and renovated and all that, at least get a good head start. So I go into this unit, and I start prepping my my area, you know, getting it ready for paint, as a painter would. And so I go into this specific bedroom, and man, that's where shit gets real. So I go into this unit, this specific bedroom, I should say, and like immediately, I just start feeling physically drained. Then I look over to my right, and I see this pixelated shadow man. Get that? Then, yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but shit, you know, it happened. It's and like, even to this day, man, I still haven't told very many people just because of how crazy it is. Nobody sees a pixelated shadow man. I don't think there's too many accounts of it out there. But again, like, so I see this pixelated shadow man, and immediately I freeze, like it's trying to paralyze me, or, you know, and, you know, it gets even crazier than that. The longer I'm staying frozen, the longer this thing is freezing me, it starts taking my appearance. Yeah, I know. I know.
Wow.
Fucking skinwalker mimics.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, man. Like I said, the best thing I can describe it was a pixelated shadow man. And, you know, I'm just here frozen. Then the longer I stay frozen, it starts taking my appearance. Then at the same time, I start feeling like my, like I'm having an out-of-body experience while I'm awake, you know, while I'm lucid, while I'm staring at this thing. And man, like I just start, you know, I've dealt with some spiritual warfare in my life before, but never to the strangeness of this, you know, never to the degree of something like this. So I start, I don't know if you guys are, I'm not going to preach here, but whenever I experience, a level of spiritual warfare, I always start reciting the Psalms in my mind or out loud. But again, I'm frozen here. And so I have to start reciting the Psalms in my mind. And that gives me just enough of a break from this thing. It gives me, gets me free of the grasp of this thing that's paralyzing me. And I just immediately haul ass out of that apartment complex. And you know, I didn't go back until the next day, earlier part of the day, and I'm never saw this thing again.
Wow, man. Did you go back to the same place where this took place?
I went back to the same place expecting something, but never happened again, man. Again, I don't know what this thing was. I know it sounds crazy and out there, but...
not to me, man.
It happened.
It mimics... mimics are a real thing, man. There's a lot of stories on mimics.
Yeah, so like, Wendigo. You look at all the Wendigo lore.
Yeah.
Wendigo will call to you in your own voice. And
Yeah,
well, how many times have you heard, I've heard it myself, where you hear a family member call your name, and you're like, what? And then it's not them, you know? It's
Yeah,
so many people say that. Wow, man.
Yeah. We had some guests on here a while back. Since we started, a fan of ours, a really good friend of ours, Bo Pete, her and Matt, her brother, were one of our recent episodes, and they had ghosts that did, they had spiritual entities that did the same thing. They would call to them, you know, in family members' voices and stuff like that. They'd go out of the room. They'd go out of the room and they would talk to, you know, or like, you know, I think Matt had, you know, thought his mother was calling him over and over loud. Goes in and asks her, she's like, I didn't see anything.
You know, wow, man, that's freaking stuff.
Yeah, that's, they've had a lot of that. Dude, they sent a freaky-ass fucking picture ever, man. It was one of the best pictures of paranormal activity that I've ever seen. And this is like a 1990 fucking Polaroid, Tommy. You know, you remember the old like disposable ones that you get, you know, it looked like a big fucking soap bar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and dude, this thing is plain as fucking day.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm sure she won't mind it. They posted on our Discord, but I'll check with her, and if she don't mind, I'll definitely send that over
to you. Yeah, awesome. I'd love to see that.
Do you have Discord?
It's something I'm looking into. I haven't got one yet. I need to get a Discord. I'm on Discord. I'm sure I'm on Discord. Yeah, so I can join your Discord.
Yeah, I'll send you an invitation. I haven't got a
awesome, man. Yeah. I still need to learn a lot more when it comes to Discord.
Yeah.
It's one of the most confusing tools out there, man.
I mean,
dude, you're not lying.
We have such a good community, though, man, of people. Like, we've got a guy that I think he helped with Tony Marples and all his guys. He came on board with us from the jump, and he has helped us. He built our channel. He's you know, always repping our merch and stuff. He's just a really good dude. And we get people to help us. Volunteer to help us. They do such a great job. We do run the Patreon, you know, we run a Patreon, and And you know, we've got some members that have had some rough times. We use that money. We'll buy them a piece of merch or something, send it to them.
That's awesome, man.
You know, because we actually don't make our own merch. We have, except for decals, my wife does some decals, but, you know, we just do our merch through TeePublic.
Cool. So I'll share all the links as well in the show description. So if people want to merch, they can go there. Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, I'll share it with you. We appreciate it. Like I said, I'm about to drop a Bill Gates design.
I like it.
Hopefully tonight that says Countercult says fuck this guy. So,
awesome, man.
We do have some pretty cool shit on there.
We'll be checking that out for sure. But, Outlaw, I've got to ask Outlaw before I forget the questions. I've still got so many questions about your experience. I'm sorry.
Dude, we're free.
And we still got time. We've got time. Yeah. We're nearly at 2 hours, but we'll keep going if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm here for it.
Yeah. We've been waiting for this one, Tommy. You're good.
You guys are welcome back anytime. So we can do this again.
We'd love to crash your party anytime.
Yeah, I love it. I've got to ask Outlaw though. So when this was taking your appearance, you said could you see yourself standing there basically?
Yes. Again, it was still pixelated, Shadow Man, whatever, pixelated. But I could still see the thing trying to take my face, my appearance, my facial features. And like I said, man, I know it sounds crazy, but I am not making this up.
No, for sure, man. It's not crazy on this show, brother.
And the weird thing is, man, I don't even know why it happened to me. Could happen to anyone else. I'm not that special. I mean, like I said, I told Dick about it. I told very few people about it just because of the level of craziness.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing it, man.
Yeah.
Do you feel like if you hadn't have said the prayer and stopped it from happening, what do you feel like would have happened? Do you feel like it would have just took you over? Or
I think so. You know, that time my wife, well, even to this point, you know, I'm not, I hate saying this, I'm not on talking terms with God, even though, you know, I have that Christian background. I have my own demons I'm dealing with right now. You know, but still, I think, looking back, I think I was in a vulnerable position spiritually, that if I hadn't started reciting the Psalms in my head, I think this thing would have taken over, or who knows. But
interesting, man.
Yeah,
I mean, who knows what would happen, man. I mean,
yeah,
you know, demons need a vessel. That's one of the theories behind the grave, and they're synthetic, but they're clones made for the house demons.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what they are. I'm just saying I've heard, you know, when you do what we do, you research a lot of, you know, a lot of paranormal experiences, a lot of conspiratorial points of view. You see a lot of different theories.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of them too. And you know, we know, biblically speaking, that, you know, that they could be cast into any vessel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Them so much, they jumped off a fucking cliff.
Yeah,
man.
But that being said, you know, too, about the entities, man, like kind of like with mine, you know, that I deal with, you know, I think it's kind of like people, man. You've got good people, you've got neutral people, and you've got really shitty people. You know, I think the same goes with these entities. Maybe even with interdimensional beings. You've got malevolent, benevolent, and everything in between.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I agree with that 100%.
And that's just, yeah,
I do concur. Like I said,
that's yeah, just subjective. That's my experience. You know, Maddie and I've, Outlaw and I, Maddie and I, we've all had conversations about it. You know, how we feel about it. You know, we all have, you know, somewhat similar yet somewhat different beliefs as far as spiritually, and we are all open to each other's points of view. And if we're not, you know, if you're not open to others' point of view, you know, you're closing yourself into a corner, and then you end up finding out later that you know maybe some of these things are true, and you should have been more open-minded. So that's the way we try to approach things.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. Outlaw, I've got to ask you as well about your haunted house growing up.
Yeah,
man. I mean, screams in the night, something playing the guitar during the night, that's freaky stuff, man.
Yeah, man. So we lived, so behind our house, there was also a river. And I remember playing in the riverbank one day when I was a kid. And I just remember seeing this apparition come out of the water, start walking towards the riverbank. And I remember it was holding a sack, like a burlap sack. And my dad saw this as well. And he told me, get the fuck back in the house. Like, you know, he wasn't being polite about it. And there was a reason for it, but he knew that that place was just had a lot of bad juju as well. So, yeah, just there was a lot of stuff going on. Even my parents, they saw more things than I did. There's obviously the legend of the Wailing Woman, the Llorona, and they saw that as well growing up, and just a lot of different shit that they saw there. So,
was that in the house as well?
Yes.
Wow. The entity that you saw coming out of the water, what did that look like?
It was obviously a male figure. I remember to this day, I remember what it was wearing. It was wearing blue jeans and like this flannel shirt. I could, the face, I couldn't really see so much. It was kind of blurred for some reason. But yeah, I just remember this thing coming out of the water, like materializing out of the water. I don't know how else to explain it. And then just start walking towards the riverbank. Just
wow.
Yeah, that place was something else growing up there. I mean, you know, you hear all these stories, especially here in the American Southwest and, you know, the Rocky Mountains, so similar stories of the Wailing Woman, the Screech Owl, aka Lilith, and, you know, I know Dick and Maddie are pretty familiar with that as well in their region. So
can you tell us a little bit about that for people that might not know?
Yeah. So, here in, from the, Mexican belief, the Screech Owl, La Lechuza, that's what they call it here. In Spanish, it's, basically a giant owl that's affiliated with either witchcraft or, as everyone knows, Lilith. So I know our boys over at Appalachian Intelligence have been dealing with her as well as of late. So, but yeah, it's just that's a very common thing in the Mexican culture as well. So
wow.
Yeah, if you get a chance to check out the Appalachian Intelligence guys, Tommy, they Justin talks about an experience seeing Lilith in owl form, and then actually seeing Lilith in a human-esque form.
Wow!
While he's out back, you know, and he's yeah. I think this guy lives out in the middle of nowhere. He's out back in his hot tub, and he sees her materialize or something. You know, he sees her there like a human figure. You know, watching him in the middle of nowhere. You know, he gets freaked out. That's a pretty crazy experience he goes into there, you know, about an hour and a half over the hill.
Super interesting stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, guys.
We're steeped in it, brother.
Yeah.
You've had guests on here from the Smokies and from the Great Smoky Mountains, you know, on your podcast. And then, you know, this area, Outlaws area, you know, we're definitely steeped in paranormal activity and lore.
Yeah, man. You know, and I love it.
Yeah. we'll definitely keep in touch and keep you posted, man.
Yeah, man.
Like I said, we'd love to crash it for you anytime, man.
Yeah, I feel like we could probably do another 2 hours. We better wrap it up.
Yeah.
Guys, I've absolutely loved having you on the show. We've hit on a lot of awesome subjects today. Thank you so much, man. It's been an absolute pleasure, and you're all welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
We appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's been a blast.
Yes, man. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. We are, of course, Countercult Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, countercult.podcast. You can find us. You can find. We'll send Tommy. We'll send you the links for the Discord. And you can also find us on Spotify and Apple, Countercult Podcast. You can find our merch on tpublic.com. We got a lot of conspiracy and paranormal cool shit on there. And then of course you can always email us at countercult.podcast@gmail.com. You know, let us hear those experiences and stuff, and just shout us out if you want to give us some love, give us some hate, whatever, you know.
Either way, it's love.
We don't care. Just listen to us. That's fine. Just talk about it.
it's attention either way, so we'll take it.
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you so much, guys. And hopefully this is the first of many conversations we're going to have together. And I look forward to having you back on soon.
Absolutely, Tommy. We love your content too, man.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you having us on, man.
Oh, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate you coming on. And keep up the great work. And we'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. We'll certainly
absolutely
try.
Let's get freaky.
Something's in your room. You can't move. You can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut. So then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears. It had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer. What?